You know, it's a great reminder that we are thankful for the country that we live in, for the freedoms that we have to gather together and to worship, to celebrate. Today is a day we remember those who have sacrificed with their time and energy and some with their life so that we can have the freedoms that we have. But you know, it's a great reminder as well that while we live in a great country, it's only a matter of time until this nation passes away, or at least the measure of influence that we have wanes. Every nation before us has done the same. But our hope is not in this nation. It's not in the leaders of this state or this country. Our hope is in the risen Lord. And none of us are veterans from that. We are all called to be servants. We only get to be a veteran when we get to go home and be with Him for eternity. So we're all called to serve Him. You know, in days gone by, if you wanted to make a bow to hunt game or to defend yourself, you had to go out and you had to look for a piece of wood, a proper branch that you could use, a small tree, whatever the case would be, a small piece of wood that was thick enough that it had some potential energy so that you could shoot an arrow. It had to be long enough to give you some stability when you were preparing to shoot, and it had to be flexible enough to bend without breaking. You know, having a twig that you could bend until it touched itself and then would spring back might work for weaving a basket, but not for a bow. It would never work if you never knew where the arrow was going to go when you released it because your bow wasn't stable. And it wouldn't do you much good if you went to pull the string on your bow back and your bow broke. It wouldn't be much good for anything but some firewood. We often find ourselves in situations that are similar to those. Situations where we're bending and we're afraid. We're afraid that we might break. Places where we don't know what the next move is. Times when we don't understand what God is doing. Times when we don't see the path before us and we're bending and we wonder if we're going to break. We know in those times that we have to move. We just don't know where, but we know now is the time. In situations like that, we need to follow the advice of James when he says that we can ask and seek wisdom from God, believing that He will deliver it. But he also says that we have to believe that He will deliver and that we have to listen when He offers His wisdom, because if we don't, He will not give us His wisdom. Jacob, the great patriarch, finds himself in one of those places as we continue through the story of the patriarchs, as we're looking through the whole story of Scripture. Jacob finds himself between his brother and his uncle, between a rock and a hard place. By his own doing. His brother wants to kill him, and it won't be long until his uncle will use him as a slave. It's here that Jacob hits rock bottom. At least I think, but that might not come until after a little too much wine and a wedding. But he is bent. And the question is, will he break? Will he break as he is bending? Well, this morning we're going to be in Genesis chapter 27 as we consider this question from the life of Jacob about bending. Will he break? Will he break? Genesis chapter 27 deals with Jacob stealing the birthright from his or not the birthright, but actually the blessing from his brother with the help of his mother by tricking and lying to his father and pretending to be Esau. He gains the blessing, and we come to verse 41, and it says, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I am disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from the Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your mother's father Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of people. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. Jacob is between the rock and the hard place. Jacob is in that position where life has bent him to the point of questioning whether or not he'll break. But like I said, he got there by himself. Life didn't just happen to Jacob. Jacob happened to his own life. Jacob brought himself to this situation, and it's the same thing that happens to too many of us when we try to take the situations of life into our own hands. For Jacob, it started with cheating his brother out of the birthright, and now it comes to the point where Jacob, in cahoots with his mother, who liked him better anyway, begins to work this act of deception against his own father, to steal the blessing from his brother Esau. His mother overhears the conversation between Isaac and Esau about going and hunting some game and bringing this tasty food, and when he eats, Isaac will bless Esau. And so she goes to Jacob and she says, here's what we have to do. You have to impersonate your brother. You have to pretend that you are your brother so that you can take this food that I will prepare for your father the way he likes it. I'll prepare it. I'll give it to you. You take it into him and we will work this act of deception. You will pretend to be your brother. And in doing so, your father will bless you. And so Jacob goes and he gets the two young kids and he brings them to his mother and he kills them and she prepares them and they take some of the skin and the hair off of these goats, these young goats, and put some on the back of his hand, because if you've read the story, you know that Esau is a hairy man and Jacob is not. And so they put the hair on the back of his hands and put some hair on the back of his neck so that his skin that is exposed will feel like that of Esau. He puts on a robe of Esau's that would have had the odor of Esau. Now, many of us, we don't notice those kinds of things, but in a society where you don't have all of the stimuli that we have today, you notice some of those things more. And also it says that Jacob was getting old and his sight was getting bad and his hearing wasn't as good as it used to be. And one of the things that your body does is it takes some of those senses and strengthens the ones that you still have to cover for the ones that you don't have. And Esau knew the smell, or Jacob knew that, man, I'm going to get these guys confused all morning. Isaac knows the smell of Esau. And so Jacob comes in, and, you know, it's one thing when you, we think anyway, it's one thing when you lie to somebody, but it's another thing to lie to your family. I don't know why we think that, actually. It's bad to lie to anyone, but Jacob comes in and he lies to his father. And we would look at that with disdain, and they did as well. And as the story is being written, you can tell that Moses looks at that with some disdain, and the way he writes it, that he lies to his father. His scruples are so low that he doesn't care what he has to do to get what he wants, and so he's lying to his father. He lies to him about being Esau. He lies to him about how he was able to get food so quickly. He lies to him again about being Esau. He lies to his father, trying to get the thing that he wants to hold on to, and he stole what belonged to his brother. He stole what belonged to his brother, the blessing that the father would pass on to the eldest son. Actually, many times in those circumstances, the father would have blessed all of the children in one way or another, but Jake or Isaac was going against custom himself, as he had just called Esau, not Esau and Jacob. And so now he's going to bless. He thinks he's blessing Esau, and in fact he is blessing Jacob, because Jacob is lying and stealing his brother's blessing. You see, he was taking the matters, he was taking the situation into his own hand, because he wanted what belonged to his brother. Rebekah was taking matters into her own hand through her son, because she knew the blessing that God had promised. In the prophecy, before Jacob and Esau were born, God had told Rebekah that the older son would serve the younger. And Rebekah thinks that she has to work things out for God. And so she's pushing him to take the situation into their own hands. You see, we try to do the same thing. We do it all the time. We see it in the world around us. We see it with our own eyes. We do it with our own lives. We try to reach the top of the ladder. We try to get there by whatever means are necessary, whatever it costs, whatever it takes. We're going to get to the place where we want to be on the ladder of success. And we work and we work and we put in hours that maybe we shouldn't. We put in time that we don't have. We give energy that we should save for other things, always trying to climb to the next rung of the ladder. Or we try to ensure financial success, and we work to put the right amount of money in the bank every week. We try to make sure that there will never be a situation where we won't be able to provide. Or we try to garner people's approval. We try to do whatever it takes to make people like us, to enjoy what we have to say, to enjoy being around us. We try to make sure that others look at us with approval. And whatever the case, each one, we're trying to fill the deepest voids in our own life. Now, I think that's really what Jacob was doing. He was trying to fill the voids in his own life. Isaac loved Esau. And every boy growing up is looking for the attention and the approval of his father. And Jacob was simply trying to fill the situation in his own way. And we look at the voids within our own life, whatever they may be. Approval, success. We look to fill them with our own strength. And we, like Jacob, sometimes go places we shouldn't. And Jacob's desire cost him dearly. Jacob's desire cost him dearly because here it is, he's got everything that he's looked for. Everything he's reached for is now in his hand. He's got the birthright so that when dad dies, he gets the greater portion of the inheritance. He's got the blessing so that now he is the one who will be the head of the family. He will be the one who is in charge of the family. And he has, through deception, got the approval of his father. He's gotten everything that he wants, and he's got it within his hands, and suddenly he has to leave it all. He loses everything that he has worked up to this point in his life for. Because now he's running in fear of his brother. His mom goes to his dad and says, "Send him away to my brother. Send him back to our people, to our family, to get a wife." Now, I have to ask you the question, what suddenly changed? Why did it suddenly become important for Rebekah to send Jacob away to her brother Laban? It didn't have to do with a woman. She was afraid. She was afraid that he would die. And she loved Jacob. She was afraid that this plot, this ploy that she and Jacob had carried out would cost Jacob his life. And so to protect his life and for his own protection, he leaves. He goes away from his brother. But the moment he leaves the inheritance. He leaves the blessing. And he leaves his parents. He leaves everything that is of value to him, everything that he has been working to grasp a hold of. Jacob has to leave because of the breach in the relationship with his brother. And so Jacob leaves without a possession in his hands and without any of his family. Jacob leaves for this long trip from where they are to Paddan Aram, to Haran, where Laban and his family lived. He left everything. You see, the cost was great for Jacob to get what he thought he wanted, to get what he thought he needed. It cost him everything that he hoped for. What are you willing to pay for the things that you think are important? What are we willing to pay for the things that we think we need to acquire? What are we willing to give up in this life to attain the things that we think are valuable to us? You just look around and we see those things. There are those that are willing to pay with the cost of their relationships. They give everything they have to attaining the things that they think they need, and they have nothing left over for the people that they care for the most. And so they give up their costs, or they give up their relationships. We see it in our world as we look around, and some statistics say that the divorce rate in our nation is over 50%. Because too many people are giving too much to the things that this world says are important, climbing the ladder, attaining success, and they're not willing to give the time and energy that's required for relationships. They work hard to find the right person, and they've got the right person because they've got someone, but rather than put the energy into the relationship, they give it all to work. They give it all to something else. And so they give up relationships. Or maybe it's the cost of freedom, not necessarily physical freedom, though some people do. They give up their morals and their standards, and they end up going to jail because they've cheated, they've done something wrong. But there is the freedom that we give up as we look forward to doing something and being a part of things, and suddenly, because we're so involved in making a name for ourselves, we're so attuned to finding financial success, we're so attuned to making it to the top of the ladder that we have given everything to that, and we no longer have any freedom. Everything we have is given to success in one area of life, and it controls everything. We give it all up for the things that we think we need to hold. And sometimes it's the financial cost. What are we really paying to attain what we think we need? And we get the things that this world says we need and we think we want, and suddenly they own us instead of us owning them. And something that looked like a good deal financially at one point becomes a money pit that is just draining everything. You see, we're willing to pay a whole lot for things that we think we need, but they're often not the things that are most important. Jacob finds us out carrying on, beginning with verse 28, or chapter 28, verse 10. Jacob finds us out. It says, Jacob left Beersheba, and he set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth and its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. You see, Jacob gets the real blessing. When Jacob gets to the end of himself, when Jacob hits the bottom, when Jacob has nothing left, Jacob meets God. With nothing left, with only the clothes on his back and the hope of finding his relatives in Haran, Jacob finds God. But you see, Jacob had to let go of everything before God could bless him. But before Jacob could really receive the blessing that he needed, he had to be willing to give up everything that he had tried so hard to grasp. He had to give up the relationship with his father. He had to give up the birthright. He had to give up the blessing. He had to give up everything before God could bless him. He literally had to hit rock bottom, because he had to lay down with his head on the rock before things would get better for him. There was nowhere for Jacob left to go, you would think, but uphill. But he had to hit the bottom before he was ready to be blessed by God. Before he could understand, before he could see, before he could know what God really meant, he had to experience the loss of everything. He had to give up striving for a period of time so that he could be prepared to meet God. And he got at this point what he really needed, and that was the promise that God would be with him. You see, the greatest promise that God gives to to Jacob isn't the promise that he will inherit the promised land. It isn't the promise that he will have descendants and will become a great nation. Those are good things. Those are things that Jacob might have tried for on his own. But the thing that Jacob needed was to know that he was cared for by a father who was greater than his father Isaac. And God looks at Jacob and he says, I am the God of your father Abraham and of Isaac. I am the God who your father and your grandfather have worshipped, and I will be with you. And I will be your God. And I will protect you. Wherever you go, I will go with you. I will provide for you. I will protect you. You see, Jacob was striving hard to gather these things for himself. But it wasn't until he let go of them that he could gain what he really needed. A blessing that was deeper than anything his father could give him. And unfortunately for us, sometimes God has to wrestle what we think we want from our grips before he can give us what we really need. Sometimes we look at life and we look at the hardships of life and we think how bad things are, and we want to ask God, why are you doing this? And God might look back at you and say, well, because you won't give it up on your own. I've got to take it from you. You're putting too much stock in things that aren't important. And so you've strived to climb the ladder and suddenly you're unemployed. You've worked hard to put money in the bank and suddenly the economy collapses. Or the stock that you were invested in takes a nosedive overnight. Or the name that you've tried to build for yourself with other people suddenly is gone when your health is gone and you're no longer able to mingle in the same crowds, and people forget who you were because you're not there anymore. And God simply says, if you let it go, it's great, but if I have to, I'll pry your fingers off of the things that you're holding so tightly. And God had to pry the fingers of Jacob off of those things. It took forcing him to leave and flee for his life before he would let go of the things he thought he needed. And sometimes God has to pull those things from our hands because we hold on so tight to things that we think are important when what we really need is God alone. What we really need is God and a relationship with Him, and knowing that He will take care of us. And that's why in Luke chapter 12, Jesus can say this, beginning with the 29th verse. He says, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, and do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. You see, if we will let go of the things that we want so badly, God will take care of us by blessing us with so much more. I'm not saying if you give up on trying to get money, God's going to bless you with more. I think I could work on that one if that was the case, but that's not what I'm saying. But if money is the thing that I have been chasing all my life, and I suddenly say, you know what? I'm going to chase God instead. God will bless me with peace and security and serenity like I have never experienced. God will bless you with more peace than money can ever provide. If you're trying to, to be successful, if you give up the opportunity for success, God will give you success in areas that you never thought were important, and you will feel more complete by seeking God and His kingdom than you ever did in the other things that you've experienced. And I can tell you the truth in that. I love driving a truck, and I enjoyed it for 3 years. But you know what? Nothing compares to the opportunity to speak His Word and to teach the truth. And give up what you think you want to gain what God alone can give. When you seek His will and you strive to do His purposes, He will bless you beyond measure. Yes, you might bend. Jacob was bent, and the question was, would he break? Would he break? And Jacob looked at God and said, God, when these things happen, when I come back to this place and You have provided for me, I will worship You at this place. I will give to You of the blessings that You bless me with in this place. Because though Jacob was bent, he was not broken. Jacob became like the arrow or the bow that God would use to shoot the arrow through history. Jacob became the patriarch of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob became the father of Judah, who would later be the father of King David, who would later be the father of a young girl named Mary, who would be the mother of a boy named Jesus. Jacob is the one that God bent and shot the arrow through history of salvation that came through Jesus Christ. He was bent, but he was not broken. He was well chosen, and he was thick enough that God could use him to do great things. But he had to be bent. He had to have his own will broken so that God could give him a new purpose. He had to give up what he thought was important so he could get what was unmeasurable. A blessing from God. How often do we strive for things that aren't important? How often do we try to grasp a hold of things that have no value? Or we think they're of utmost value, but really, they're not. Because the only thing that matters is Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. The only thing that matters are the blessings that God offers us through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can make a name for yourself, but will it do you any good at death's gate? You can put a miraculous amount of money in the bank account, but can it buy you an extra day when God says life is over? You can have 1 million friends and they can all come to your funeral, but not one of them can stand in your place before the judge of your soul. We have to give up the things that we think are important. We have to give up striving for the things that we think will fill the empty voids in our life, and seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first to know this God who loves us so much that He wants to bless us beyond measure. Do you know Him? Do you really know Him? Because here's what I'm afraid. So many of us, we only know about Him. We've been coming to church for years, and we've heard the stories, and we've heard the sermons, we've felt compelled, but we don't really know Him. We've got to get to the place where we quit trying to strive to do it on our own and just know Him. Or maybe this morning you don't have a relationship with Him at all. You've never come to the place where you've submitted your life and said, I will give up everything for the only thing that matters, and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you need to do that this morning, we're going to sing one more song. And I would invite you, if you need to make that commitment this morning as we sing together, won't you come? Won't you come, and we'll talk about what that looks like, or we'll celebrate with you this morning as you make that commitment and that decision to be one with Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. Let's stand together as we sing out, Reach Out to Jesus.